Thank you, Russell, for and to everyone that has been participating already this morning. What an incredible blessing it's been to be a part of this worship service and to hear about what God is doing in your life, to hear that your faith is not stagnant. Isn't that wonderful? You know, that I don't know about you, but I've been walking with the Lord for 46 years, and I am so thankful that not only does He forgive, but He restores. I have a lot of regrets. I have a lot of mistakes. I have a lot of, life is like that, isn't it? And I am so thankful that faith is real. And I'm thankful that we can keep going. It's good to be back here. It's good to be back for a visit, to catch up with family and with some friends. It seems like the time is always so incredibly short, but we appreciate the moments in time that we get. We've been in Vanderhoof for 9 months now, and we're settling in, getting into ministry and getting into the community and getting to know that area. Again, a different culture, a different community. And so if you're ever in the area, you know, it's a little bit different than Lacrete. Well, maybe not a lot, because Lacrete's kind of at the end of the road. Vanderhoof isn't. There's good fishing on the other side. So if you're en route to a good fishing hole, stop in, and we will have coffee together. This, as Martha and I were preparing for this Christmas, like I said, we've been walking with the Lord. We've had a lot of Christmases since age 8. I grew up in Sunday school and in church. We took this Advent season of looking towards Christmas, and we immersed ourselves in rediscovering the joy of Christmas. And for myself, I looked for plan after plan, you know, 5 days in this, 4 days in that, and just immersing myself in scriptures, just about Christmas, and see it. I was just so amazed at things that I found that I had never noticed before. Now, I know I've read them because I've read through the scriptures a few times, but somehow I missed that. And it did two things for me. First of all, it blessed me that I found it. But the other part of it was that it blessed me that God's word is so deep, we'll never finish digging. And we'll never finish discovering what God has for us there. Whether you've been walking with the Lord for a week, for a year, 50 years or more, it doesn't matter. There's something there to keep your faith growing, to keep it vital. Part of that is going to come out in what I'm sharing this morning. We'll be looking at two major scripture passages in Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2. But I want to start talking a bit about His name. The name of Jesus. Christmas is over. The celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. But the story isn't finished. The interesting thing is, if there's a new baby in a family, the birth is just the beginning of the excitement of that this new baby brings. There are the birth announcements that need to be sent out. But probably even before you do that, you need to choose a name. So who chooses the name, mom or dad? Who gets veto power? See, some couples, they have the names already. They've talked about it and they're when the baby comes, whether it's a boy or a girl, then it'll be this name or that name, and it's all done, said and done. Others, they stretch it so long that you wonder if the baby is going to be nameless. Because they can't agree on a name. Well, Mary and Joseph didn't have that problem because in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 1, we find the angel speaking to both Mary and to Joseph and saying, his name shall be. His name shall be Jesus. He will be called Jesus. But even before that, we have to back up quite a few years. Because in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, and he shall be called. And even though this isn't the whole name on Jesus' birth certificate, so to speak, this is descriptive of this child that is to be born. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in Matthew chapter 1, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. His name shall be Jesus. The Lane family back in 1958 had a baby boy. And Dad had, I am sure that he had veto power. Because guess what he named him? Winner. Winner Lane. Sometime later, they had another boy. Now guess what they named him? Yeah, Loser. Two boys, Winner and Loser. Can you imagine naming your child that? And then live up to that name. Well, just so that it shows that just naming a child isn't going to show their destiny, Winner today has at least 30 criminal records against him. He's been in and out of prison. He's from domestic abuse to robbery to everything. And guess where Loser is? He's one of the top sergeants in the NYPD. Except that the New York Police Department, they call him Lou. His name shall be, think of your name. Why did your parents call you that? Because he didn't know how to spell any other name? What does your name mean? Do your parents ever talk to you about why they called you that and hope that you would live up to this name? His name shall be Jesus. And we will see the incredible power of that name. But let's back up and let's go to that name, his name shall be Jesus, to that first Christmas. And we see that God also sent out his birth announcement cards. Well, not quite cards. But we want to turn to Luke chapter 2. And we want to begin reading in verse 8. It says that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So who are you going to call first? Your parents, right? Grandma and grandpa. Who did God tell first? It's amazing that God chose to share the birth of his son, the first people public that it went, that this baby had been born, was with shepherds. Who were these shepherds? Well, it seems that these shepherds, first of all, we realize they were out in the field. They're watching over the flocks. It was dark. They were out there doing their job. It is often thought, there's some evidence that shows that it's quite possible that the sheep that they were caring for were the sheep that were being raised for the temple service. Because if you came to Jerusalem for Passover and you came from a distance, you couldn't carry your sheep. They didn't have pet carriers. So then they would raise these sheep, and then you could buy them for sacrifice. Interesting, isn't it, that the first announcement that came out was to the shepherds who were caring for sheep, for whom Jesus, this baby, would be the Lamb of God. The shepherds were not people of much status. In the court of law, their word meant nothing. They weren't to be believed. I don't know exactly why, but it seems like for some reason they had a lifestyle, they were known that they could not be trusted. Their word could not be trusted. And so I find it amazing that God would go and would share with them this birth announcement of a Savior. And they went and they told others. And people were amazed at what these shepherds told them. It is not recorded, and that doesn't mean it didn't happen. But did anybody go to check out the shepherd's story? Or was the impression such that it's just those shepherds, it's a wild tale from, you know, to see angels, bright lights, chorus, the singing, and the birth of the Messiah? I mean, surely that news would come from the temple. Surely the high priest would call a media, would call a news conference and share this news. But the shepherds? We read nowhere that anybody went to check out what the shepherds said. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them. The last verse says that they praise God for all that they had heard and they had seen. Can you see the difference in their story if they had not gone? If they had just heard it and they just kept caring for their sheep, and as they would go home on the weekend or whenever their shift was done, and they would go home and they would say, or they would talk about all the things that their angels had told them. What power would such a testimony, if you want to call it that, have had if they couldn't add, "But we went and we saw"? You see, if you just hear something, then others can dissuade you from that. If you just hear it, the others can say, that's garbage. That's as far from the truth as it can be. And you begin to believe that yourself unless you've experienced it. If you have experienced it, if you have seen it, nobody can take that away from you. They may not believe, they may think you're way off, but nobody can take that away from you because you saw. You heard, but you also saw. God used his angels to tell the shepherds. And he used another method.
He wrote it in the heavens. He wrote it in the heavens. Dave already read this passage for us. What a wonderful thought to see how God spread this word concerning his child, the birth of his child. There's a verse in Numbers, when we think about the star, there's a verse in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, where the prophet says, he says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. And then it says, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. God had planned this writing in the stars long, many, many years before Jesus was born. But what I find so incredible is that these Magi, these people from the East, were not Jews. They were not familiar with all of the teachings of the Jews, the scriptures of the Old Testament. But I find it amazing the information they did have and the things they did know. They knew that a king had been born, and they knew that this king was to be king of the Jews. And this is what they deciphered from their study of the stars. And so these seemingly three men started out on a journey. And they followed the star. Evidence indicates that they were probably on the road for about 2 years. And that we get from Herod, ascertained from them the exact time the star appeared, and then he kills all the boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. So here we have these people, different than the shepherds, because the shepherds, I'm not sure how far away they were, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but for them it was nothing to go there that night. But here's the Magi, traveling 2 years, looking. Their search for the Savior was a journey. Maybe Jerusalem wasn't the only place they stopped to ask, but it's possible that it was. And as he reached Jerusalem, they go talk to Herod. And Herod wasn't pleased with it, just as not everyone is excited about the coming of the birth of our Savior. I think that this must make us ask the question. And the question that I want to start with is that question, how did you hear about it? How did you hear about the Savior's birth? I want you to think back to where it first began to make sense to you that Jesus was a Savior, that he was born to be your Savior. Did you learn it in Sunday school? Was it in church? Or when it began to make sense to you, was it because somebody, a coworker or a friend, shared it with you? But how did you hear about it the first time that you really understood it? Was it like it was for the shepherds, just kind of that, wow. And it's just that flash of light. It's that sudden thing, and you hear about Jesus and your need for a Savior, and that he can save you from your sins, and you just accept Christ as your Savior and it's done. Or was it a journey? Would you say that your coming to Christ was a journey? Like the Magi. It had questions along the way. And you ran into different signs. the question or the thing I want us to think about is, what did you do when you heard about Jesus? What if we just disregarded it? If we're shepherds, that's great, that's wonderful. I think it could be something good, but we never go to the manger. If it's like the Magi, we hear about it, but you know what? Life is just a little bit busy, and I don't know if I can take off 2 years to go and check this out. Children, young people, if you grew up in church, you grew up in Sunday school, the greatest danger for you is that you will always hear about the shepherds. You will hear about the Magi, but you'll never take the time to go check it out. You have life's pretty good for you. You know all the Bible stories. You can answer a lot of questions about spiritual things, but you've never gone to really check it out. Because too many other things in your life. If you think of it, the shepherd story, Simeon, Anna at the temple, the Magi, 2 years later, and who knows about Jesus in the temple? I mean, in Bethlehem. Who knows about where he's living? Because he's in a house now. He's a 2-year-old boy. Maybe the Magi saw him playing on the street as they walked up to the house. Maybe he was in the courtyard. Maybe he ran and said, "Mom, Mom." Maybe he hid behind Mary's skirt. There was no lineup. There was no media. They managed to keep it very quiet. And aren't we in danger of doing the same thing? It's all around us. You turn on the radio, you got satellite radio, you got it, a podcast, you have everything. The gospel is just blowing out there. And how is it that today, when someone gets saved, you ask them to turn to Genesis and they start to look in the middle of the Bible? It's all around us. But it's such a steady noise that we no longer check it out. My intense desire and passion is that my faith will never become stagnant. And I love the testimonies and the song. And you know, Sharon, that song you sang for us and where it says, "I'm ready now." That wasn't the first time, I'm sure, in her life, and it's not the first time in our lives that we say, "I'm ready now." In a way, we could say, "I'm ready again." Because isn't life like that in our faith? You can't walk your faith and have your faith based on a decision you made when you were 5 years old or 15 years old or 20 or 30 years old. Your decision to follow Jesus means just that. You started a journey. You started a journey. And that journey isn't done till God takes you home. And I'm so afraid that I'm going to get lost in the noise of everyday living. That I'm going to get lost in the busyness of life, lost in all my appointments and all of those things, and I miss that the person next to me or the person that serves me at the restaurant or the person that waits on me at the store or my coworker doesn't know Christ, and I'm not burdened about that. Because We're human. We're human. And routine dulls us. And 46 Christmases, they can be a bit routine. And so our prayer and my prayer was, Lord, I don't want it to be that. I want there to be a freshness in my faith. I want there to be something there that's new and yet not new. And I think there's the wonder of this birth and of his name. You see, God expects us to keep announcing his birth. He says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And that preaching is not a preacher. That preaching is your life and my life. Jesus said, he said to them, go into all the world and preach this good news to all of creation. We are disappointed when we have good news to share and nobody else shares any excitement. Well, that's great, just great. I'm so excited for you. But just keep it down, okay? We don't do that. We are people that get excited, but we struggle to get so excited about our faith that our faith spills over. And that's, I think, the routineness of life. The power of this name of Jesus that we can be sharing, is that power because it is the only name. Paul says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This name. He is the one whom God has exalted. He's given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, whether things in heaven, on the earth, or under the earth, and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's good news. That's powerful. That's alive. That's not something dead. And that's something that God wants to do in your life, in your relationship with him. And as he does it with you, all these other things of sharing it with others, of announcing his birth will be there. You know, you can't force people to want to become Christians. Nobody could do that for you, and you can't do that for others. And sometimes we can be so discouraged because we have tried so hard, but it doesn't seem like we get an open door or that anybody really listens or that we really have a chance to lead someone to Christ. Well, at the end of Jesus' life, there weren't a lot following him either. All of the prophets in the Old Testament, they preached and preached and preached, and they gave all kinds of demonstrations. They gave all kinds of live object lessons. And very few people listened. Who responds and who responds to your message or to the birth announcement of Jesus Christ? It's not up to you. You be faithful in sharing the birth announcement. You be faithful living out your faith as you're doing. Live out your faith in such a vibrant, vital way that God is so real to you in every day of your life. Let God do the rest. Let him do the rest. I wish that if we were all to, you know, that it would kind of be a sign that if we were all going to live it out, just be preaching and announcing it and living our lives right, that then all of La Crete would be saved. God doesn't promise us that. He just asks us to be faithful. He asks us to keep our faith alive, to keep our relationship with Him going, and He'll take care of the rest. You will have opportunities. You will see Him do things. You will see our loved ones saved, as the prayer request was. But God's not going to coerce anybody to salvation. But He asks us to leave such a fragrance that people will be attracted to Him. Friends, keep announcing His birth. Do it with your life. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, life is real. Life with all of its ups and downs, with its circumstances that we cannot control. In the midst of real life, would you show us how real you are? I thank you for the testimonies of faith that we heard already this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one, the only one that can change people's lives. You'd first of all do it in our own lives, and then we need to trust you with the lives of those we love, those we work with, those we meet. Lord, we have an incredible privilege of walking with you, and thank you that the depths of your word, the study of you, our relationship with you, it can keep growing no matter what age we are, no matter how long we've walked with you. But I pray, Father, that our faith would be real and that our trust in you and getting to know you would just know no limits. That it would know no limits, Lord. We want to get to know you better. And then we want to keep announcing your birth, Lord Jesus, your cross, your resurrection. We want to keep announcing the good news to anyone who will hear, who will listen. This we pray in your most precious name. Amen.